Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Matters, the show in which I discuss all matters of the mind and in which I show how much mind matters. And a very warm welcome again to part 21 of Control Your Brain, Control Your Life. I am Udo Staatsbuchler. I am live on air and I welcome your calls with questions, comments, as long as they relate to the subject I'm talking about. All other questions, comments and suggestions I will answer by email. Just go to my website http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. There you'll find my email address and there you can write to me. I will reply as usual within 48 hours on page 3 of my website, and on the following pages you will find recordings of all my radio programs for you to listen to at your leisure. Last week I spoke about self-esteem, creativity and acknowledgement, and in this show I will talk about laughter, humor and the importance of finding pleasure at your place of work. In the past 20 episodes of this series, I spoke about self-confidence, self-discipline, determination, motivation, responsibility, and quite a few other things. And it all sounded very earnest and serious. I said that one should use my method with passion and intensity, again very serious. But it's not all about being dead serious and intense. It doesn't need to be like that. By and large, it depends on your personality. For many, it is important to be very serious, and for them, my method works best to be passionate and intense, emphasizing power and strength and being in control. But for many others, there could be too much passion and intensity, too much seriousness, and too much emotional input in power, strength, and control. And this could be counterproductive. There's a different way to use my method, and it is by emphasizing fun and joy. You can achieve everything that I talked about, such as self-confidence, self-discipline, motivation, and you can create your mind power and your strength by having fun with the exercises that I give you or gave you. You can have fun with your goals. And you cannot only pat your back when you have your first achievements and then punch the air with your fist saying, yes, yes, but laugh out loud with joy and dance across the room. If you have a good giggle about yourself and you fall flat on your face if something does not go according to your plan, so much better. As long as you pick yourself up again, dust yourself off and have another go at your plan. As I said, it all depends on your personality. If you do not know what kind of personality you are, try first passion and intensity, and then fun or pleasure. Then choose whatever works best for you. Let us look at fun and pleasure in a more general way. Many people still believe that the prime motivators in life are sex or money, or even better, a combination of both. But they are only secondary motivators. The prime ones are our desire to gain pleasure and to avoid pain. This is not a new idea. It was advocated some 1,500 years ago by the Greek thinker Aristippus of Cyrene, and much later Sigmund Freud established his pleasure principle that says very much the same, but was later modified by his reality principle that suggests that it is sometimes better to delay instant gratification, one of the cornerstones of Aristippus, in favor of first doing some productive work or some other activities that may be of greater importance at that particular moment. To the best of my knowledge, all thinkers are in agreement that fun, pleasure and joy are very important parts of our life and must not be ignored. And also you should make it part of your daily or weekly schedule. Having fun is one of the core elements of feeling good and being happy. Some theorists say that fun is just a fleeting moment, that you experience happiness only immediately after or during that fun-filled event, and that this feeling doesn't last very long. I disagree completely, and I will tell you later why. Others say that only a sense of striving towards a goal is the greatest source of satisfaction, and that therefore not only the achievement of a goal, but more so the journey towards the goals, the meaningful achievements along the way, the getting there is half the fun, and the expectancy of arriving at that goal that gives you positive feelings, fun, pleasure, and indeed happiness. I agree with this theory, but take exception to the word only. Striving towards a goal, the journey in itself, as well as the arrival at it, is most certainly happiness-inducing. And you can also have fun on the way, but most certainly it is not the only way to experience satisfaction, fun, and pleasure. The most important cornerstone in my method is the ability to control our brain, and with it also our feelings and emotions. It means that we can turn almost every situation, experience, and event into something that gives us pleasure. There are certainly situations and experiences where this is not entirely possible, for example, in bereavements. But in such situations, we can at least reduce feelings of sadness or whatever else they may be, or we can neutralize them. The ability to master, to be masters over our feelings and emotions, makes it also possible for us to bounce back from any kind of setback or from sadness and feel positive and optimistic again. Look back to your past and remember one or some of the occasions that were full of fun for you. If you create a picture in front of your mind's eye, still or moving, put yourself into the picture and relive now what happened then, you can recreate the feeling of fun that you had on these occasions. You can hold this feeling perhaps for a little while, and then it will fade, and then you can remember another fun-filled occasion, and you will be happy again for a while. This exercise is an important part of my method, and you should do it for a few minutes every day in form of visualizations, supported by appropriate affirmations. This is the foundation that allows you to step by step build more and more fun-creating thought processes which lead to more positivity and optimism. Most people have fun if they do something that they enjoy doing. Some theorists suggest that fun and pleasure can only come from within us and never from the external world. There may be some truth in it, but it is within our powers to interpret events and experience in the outside world in ways that generate positive feelings in us, such as fun and pleasure. This is a key, the interpretation of events and experiences. The good news is that you can learn how to interpret and create an interpretation that is best for you. How you can learn it, I have discussed in previous shows. And once you have mastered reframing and meaning-making, you can make a fun-filled, pleasurable, or at the very least, a positive event of most, if not of all, your daily activities. Other than your daily activities that you can turn into pleasurable activities, you should also set aside time for having fun with activities that are meant to have not much other purpose than just having fun. This can be anything from taking part in sports or going to the theater or socializing to just sitting back, relaxing and enjoying to listen to music or reading. But then There's another very important part in our lives that is often overlooked as pleasure-giving, and that's work. How often have you heard people cursing Mondays because it's the beginning of a working week? How often have you heard people saying, "Thank God it's Friday," meaning the end of a working week and the beginning of a work-free weekend? How often have you heard people saying that they hate their jobs? How often have you heard people saying that they complain about the drudgery of work, that they are looking forward to retirement? How often have you seen people being miserable because of the work they do? I could go on and on, but I'm sure that you know what I'm getting at. Come to think of it, are you one of those? We spend an enormous part of our life at work, whether it's working in a corporate environment or being employed somewhere else or in our own business. Once we have spent numerous years at whatever we do, there is a likelihood that we lose our enthusiasm for our work. This can be the beginning of a slippery slope that can end in despising our work, getting fed up with it, becoming depressed about it, and hating it. None of these feelings are good ones, and certainly not happiness-inducing. Once you experience feelings of this kind, all other aspects of your life will become infected with these feelings. Whether it's your family life, your social life, your physical and mental health, or your spiritual well-being. Everyone knows this and is aware of these effects. In spite of it, people keep on moaning that tomorrow is Monday again, the weekend is over, and another long week of meaningless drudgery lies ahead. They complain about feeling miserable, and this makes them even more miserable. But this is not as it's supposed to be. Work is not just an essential evil, something with which we fill the days between two weekends, and enjoyment can happen only after work and at weekends. Work should be a vocation, something that we enjoy doing, something we look forward to with positive expectancy. Luckily, we all have natural talents that we can and should use to make work enjoyable. The right choice of work is essential, and for those who are in the process of thinking about their career and the future, I suggest that they should follow their heart in their career choice. Do what you want to do, what you love to do, and not what's more opportune, has a better career prospects, better earning possibilities, and such like. Think about it. You will be spending perhaps 40 hours a week or more at work. This is a very significant chunk of your time. Therefore, it is better to spend your time on something you're probably quite good at because you enjoy doing it. However, in our rapidly changing world, this does not need to be your permanent choice. If you keep up with trends in your chosen field of expertise, as well as being on the look out for new developing businesses, you can change your career path as often as you like. Just pay attention and take advantage of another opportunity, provided you enjoy whatever this opportunity has on offer for you. All this maximizes your potential, increases the fun that you have at work, because you no longer see work as a daily drudge and it's a never-changing routine. Another immediate result will be that your work is going to get better and better, or success in your business becomes plentiful. This, in turn, will generously increase the fun that you have doing what you're doing. Because of it, you will get better still, and your successes become even more plentiful. This will increase your fun even more, which will make you more successful, and then you have even more fun. And so it goes on and on. There is a danger. And that danger is that other people want to trap you. This is a trap. It is widely accepted, if not expected, that people belittle their work. They say that it is pointless and they hate it, that the only purpose of workers is to enjoy their weekends and holidays, and that they look forward to retirement. It is difficult for most people not to be affected by this kind of negativity. Therefore, turn your back on this kind of people. Cut them out of your life if you can. They will only drag you down. If you enjoy what you're doing and therefore you are not only competent at it, but you excel at it, you have no need to fight for your position at work or for success in your business. Of course you want to be competitive, but this comes quite naturally and with ease. Because you are aware of your excellence, you also know that success is never far away. You are not getting uptight about it, and because you are not getting uptight, you cannot be envious of other people's successes. And because you are not envious, people trust you and can easily relate to you and you to them. This in turn makes work so much more enjoyable. And because you enjoy it, you are not taking home the pressures of work. Think about what this is doing to your family life. This is an essential part of how you master your environment. Psychologists use the term competence for this mastery. Competence refers to all the abilities a person possesses to make it work, to work effectively, survive successfully, to have great cognitive abilities, be motivated, efficient, persistent, patient, determined, punctual, organized, and disciplined. If you have these abilities, decision-making comes easy. Long-term planning comes easy. It makes you supremely confident of your abilities, and you know that you are a leader. You then also know what you want, which puts you much more in control over your future. Meaningful and productive work is important to make your working day a pleasure day. But work does not necessarily have to be the kind of work that we associate with making a living. Work could also mean a meaningful and productive activity, as for example, being actively involved in a charity or a community project. However, the ideal is to earn your living with meaningful and productive work, unless, of course, one doesn't need to work for a living. But for those of us who need to produce an income in order to make a living, the more meaning our work has and the more productive we are, the more satisfying it is. Now, I can literally hear people moaning, but I have the most uninspiring, the most meaningless job on earth. What can I do? Well, first and foremost, nothing has meaning. I have said so often in some previous programs that events and experience have no meaning in themselves. Whatever happens to you is meaningless anyway, until you give meaning to it. Even whatever I say is meaningless until you give meaning to it. If you say that your job is meaningless, then it is your decision to declare it to be meaningless. By the same token, you could give it a positive meaning, and then your job becomes meaningful and inspiring. That's a bit of a complex concept, and it may take time to get your head around it. Briefly, it has to do with our feelings and emotions and how we can control them. Secondly, if you find your work meaningless, why not change it? Are you telling yourself that there is nothing better available anyway? If so, you are probably right. But on the other hand, if you put your mind to it, muster all your positivity and confidence, telling yourself that you are going to get the ideal work for you, you are probably also right. Remember when I said in a previous chat, if you want to be successful, you want to create your success consciousness first. Earlier, I mentioned to stay on top of new developments, look out for opportunities, and most importantly, keep on learning. Open your mind, break with routines, break old established patterns, and become more aware of the world around you. Look forward to every day with positive expectancy. If all that does not work for you, not even with my help, which is highly unlikely, but let us assume that it is so, what then? In this case, my advice is to make the best of it. See your work as your source of income and focus on what you can do with this income, what kind of meaningful activity you can pursue. That can be anything from your wonderful annual holidays to voluntary work throughout the year or hobbies that give meaning to your life. Just pick something that gives you pleasure, and that means having fun. All this pleasure and having fun creates one very important activity, laughter. And believe it or not, there is immense power in laughter. A good, real, unrestrained, hearty laugh is a sort of glorified internal massage performed rapidly and automatically. It manipulates and revitalizes crannies of the system that are unresponsive to most other exercise methods. Laughter reduces levels of certain hormones, such as dopamine, adrenaline, cortisol, which all are, in addition to the benefits, also stress hormones. Laughter increases endorphins and other health-increasing neurotransmitters. It strengthens our immune system, as well as the efficiency of T cells in our blood, the killer cells that are the soldiers in our fight against foreign invaders, such as viruses. Laughter is a physical as well as an emotional release. It is a workout for the diaphragm, for our abdominals, and even the muscles in our neck and shoulders and our facial muscles. Laughter takes our focus away from negative feelings like anger, fear, and guilt. Laughter also dissolves tension, stress, anxiety, and it combats grief and depression. Laughter is also a natural painkiller. Laughter makes us think laterally. When you listen to a joke, the left hemisphere of the brain deciphers the verbal contents and the right hemisphere interprets your response to it and makes you feel whether it's funny or not. Laughter relaxes the whole body. A good hearty laugh relieves physical tension and stress, leaving your muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes thereafter. Laughter boosts the immune system. Laughter decreases stress hormones and increases immune cells and infection-fighting antibodies, thus improving your resistance to disease. Laughter protects the heart. Laughter improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow, which can help protect you against a heart attack and other cardiovascular problems. Laughter and humor help you stay emotionally healthy. Laughter makes you feel good, and the good feeling that you get when you laugh remains with you even after the laughter subsides. Humor helps you keep a positive, optimistic outlook through difficult situations, disappointments, and loss. Laughter is a powerful antidote to stress, pain, and conflict. Nothing works faster or more dependably than a good laugh to bring your mind and body back into balance. Humor lightens your burdens, inspires hopes, connects you to others, and keeps you grounded, focused, and alert. More than just a respite from sadness and pain, laughter gives you the courage and the strength to find new sources of meaning and hope. Even in the most difficult of times, a laugh or even a simple smile can go a long way toward making you feel better. And laughter really is contagious. Just hearing laughter primes your brain and readies you to smile and join in the fun. If you can laugh and make other people laugh, your circle of friends and your social network will grow in leaps and bounds. Have you noticed that in a social gathering, people are naturally drawn to a person who laughs. Then you may also have noticed that people avoid a person who projects gloom and doom. Laughter is infectious. When you laugh, you probably will help those around you to laugh too. You most certainly will increase the value of your social interaction. You will be in greater demand. Others will benefit because their mood will be elevated. They will become happier people, and you will have made another step towards your own happiness. If you can bring yourself to occasionally laugh about yourself, that much better. If you laugh about yourself, you cannot take yourself too seriously. Being too serious undermines your humor, your silliness, and your playfulness. You lose these and you lose perspective. You begin to believe that you should be perfect and irreplaceable. You believe that you are always right and you are proud of it. It won't take long and you will be arrogant and pompous. You believe that your opinion is true for everyone and cannot be questioned. You become a person very similar to religious fundamentalists and other fanatics because also you have closed your mind to other beliefs and opinions. Should you feel that you are on the road to taking yourself too seriously and you think that you are moving towards arrogance and pompousness, laugh about it. Laugh about it. Laugh out loud. Laughter is innate, and so are playfulness and the ability to perceive humor. Realize that also you are a fallible and silly human being. Lighten up, have fun, and enjoy life. Be happy. How sad would life be without humor? Humor is a tendency of particular cognitive experience to provoke laughter and provide amusement. There are many theories about what it is and what function it has. I believe that the vast majority of people have a sense of humor, and I could not imagine life without it. Can people be happy without humor? I very much doubt it. If happiness needs positivity and optimism, joy and fun, then it most certainly needs humor too. I have yet to find a happy individual who has no sense of humor. But I know many happy individuals, and they all have a very healthy sense of humor. Most certainly, humor changes the way you feel. You cannot experience humor and at the same time be depressed, anxious, or angry. The instant humor enters your mind, all the other feelings vanish into thin air. They may return later again if you do not deal with them constructively and effectively. This means that you could now, since you are looking perhaps at yourself humorously and laughingly, address the issue that made you feel depressed or anxious or angry. You could now reframe the issue, change its meaning, or do whatever it is that is necessary to address it positively. Instead of wasting time and energy being depressed, anxious, or angry, you can invest time and energy on feeling good. It will take time for you to quickly react positively in certain situations that you perceive as being negative. But as you do it more and more often, you will get used to it. Over time, you will eventually develop your mind to such a degree that you not only can change your negative feelings, but you will automatically have a positive or humorous reaction to any kind of experience or situation that previously would have been a negative one. Think about it. Is it not so that humor gives you emotional distance between yourself and any kind of problem? Humor is infectious. The sound of roaring laughter is far more contagious than any cough, snivel, or sneeze. When laughter is shared, it binds people together and increases happiness and intimacy. Laughter also triggers healthy physical changes in the body. Humor and laughter strengthen your immune system, boost your energy, diminish pain, and protect you from the damaging effects of stress. Best of all, this priceless medicine is fun, free, and easy to use. With so much power to heal and renew, the ability to love easily and frequently is a tremendous resource for surmounting problems, enhancing your relationships, and supporting both physical and emotional health. There are social benefits in humor and laughter. With humor and playful communication, we strengthen our relationships by triggering positive feelings and fostering emotional connection. When we laugh with one another, a positive bond is created. This bond acts as a strong buffer against stress, disagreements, and disappointments. Create opportunities to laugh. Watch a funny movie or TV show. Go to a comedy club. Read the funny pages. Seek out funny people. Share a good joke or a funny story. Check out your bookstore's humor section. Play with a pet. Goof around with children. Do something silly. And make time for fun activities. Shared laughter is one of the most effective tools for keeping relationships fresh and exciting. All emotional sharing builds strong and lasting relationship bonds, but sharing laughter and play also adds joy, vitality, and resilience. And humor is a powerful and effective way to heal resentments, disagreements, and hurts. Laughter unites people during difficult times. Incorporating more humor and play into your daily interactions can improve the quality of your love relationship, as well as your connection with coworkers, family members, and friends. Using humor and laughter in relationships allows you to be more spontaneous because humor gets you out of your head and away from your troubles. It allows you to let go of defensiveness because laughter helps you to forget judgments, criticism, and doubts. It allows you to release inhibitions because your fear of holding back and holding on are set aside. It allows you to express your true feelings because deeply felt emotions are allowed to rise to the surface. Laughter is your birthright, a natural part of life that is innate and inborn. Infants begin smiling during the first weeks of life and laugh out loud within months of being born. Even if you did not grow up in a household where laughter was a common sound, you can learn to laugh at any stage of life. Begin by setting aside special times to seek out humor and laughter and build from there. Eventually, you will want to incorporate humor and laughter into the fabric of your life, finding it naturally in everything you do. Here are some ways to start. Smile. Smiling is the beginning of laughter. Like laughter, it's contagious. Pioneers in laugh therapy find it is possible to laugh without even experiencing a funny event. The same holds for smiling. When you look at someone or see something even mildly pleasing, practice smiling. Acknowledge what you already have. Literally make a list. The simple act of considering the good things in your life will distance you from negative thoughts that are a barrier to humor and laughter. When you hear laughter, move toward it. Sometimes humor and laughter are private, a shared joke among a small group, but usually they are not. More often, people are very happy to share something funny because it gives them an opportunity to laugh again and feed off the humor you find in it. When you hear laughter, seek it out and ask, "What's so funny?" Spend time with fun and playful people. These are people who laugh easily, both at themselves and at life's absurdities, and who routinely find the humor in everyday events. Their playful point of view and laughter are contagious. Bring humor into conversations. Ask people, "What's the funniest thing that happened to you today or this week or in your life?" Develop your sense of humor. One essential characteristic that helps us laugh is not taking ourselves too seriously. We have all known the classic tight-jawed sourpuss who takes everything with deathly seriousness and never laughs at anything. No fun there. Some events are clearly sad and not occasions for laughter. But most events in life don't carry an overwhelming sense of either sadness or delight. They fall into the gray zone of ordinary life, giving you the choice to laugh or not. There are some ways to help yourself see the lighter side of life, such as laugh at yourself, share your embarrassing moments. The best way to take yourself less seriously is to talk about times when you took yourself too seriously. Attempt to laugh at situations rather than bemoan them. Look for the humor in a bad situation and uncover the irony and absurdity of life. This will improve your mood and the mood of those around you. Surround yourself with reminders to lighten up. Keep a toy on your desk or in your car. Put up a funny poster in your office. Choose a computer screensaver that makes you laugh. Frame photos of you and your family or friends having fun. Keep things in perspective. Many things in life are beyond your control, particularly the behavior of other people. Well, you might think taking the weight of the world on your shoulders is admirable. In the long run, it's unrealistic, unproductive, unhealthy, and even egotistical. Deal with your stress, because stress is a major impediment to humor and laughter. Pay attention to children and emulate them. They are the experts on playing, taking life lightly, and laughing. Here's a checklist for lightening up. When you find yourself taken over by what seems to be a horrible problem, ask these questions. Is it really worth getting upset over? Is it worth upsetting others? Is it that important? Is it that bad? Is the situation irreparable? Is it really your problem? The ability to laugh, play, and have fun with others not only makes life more enjoyable, but also helps you solve problems, connect with others, and be more creative. People who incorporate humor and play into their daily lives find that it renews them and all of their relationships. Life brings challenges that can either get the best of you or become playthings for your imagination. When you become the problem and take yourself too seriously, it can be hard to think outside the box and find new solutions. But when you play with the problem, you can often transform it into an opportunity for creative learning. As laughter, humor, and play become an integrated part of your life, your creativity will flourish, and new discoveries for playing with friends, co-workers, acquaintances, and loved ones will occur to you daily. Humor takes you to a higher place where you can view the world from a more relaxed, positive, creative, joyful, and balanced perspective. I have come to the end of the show again. Thank you for listening. Please go to my website, mindmattersonline.info. MindMattersOnline is one word. Find my email address and write to me. Let me know what you think of this show. Tell me also if you don't like it and give me any comments and suggestions how to improve on it. And let me know what you want me to talk about. If you have any personal problems you want to share with me, feel free to do so. I will give you my best possible advice. From page 3 and all following pages of my website, you will find recordings of all my previous shows for you to listen to at your convenience. For now, I leave you with words by Frank Howard Clark, and I quote, "I think the next best thing to solving a problem is finding some humor in it," unquote. Tune in again next week same day, same time. Goodbye.